The following program is intended for mature audiences.
North America, Northern Colorado, Gotham, Metropolis, Emerald City, Xanadu, Babylon, the rest of you too, Scooter McGee. Follow me on ScooterMcGee.com. We have some serious problems in the stories, the headlines of the day. North Korea, Colorado. Oops, another politician caught in another lie about the nuclear capabilities of North Korea, and everybody be afraid. As I mentioned this past week, Japan accidentally twittering, hey, missiles are launched. How do you accidentally? And, of course, the Federal Reserve and their premature release of a press release causing fluctuations in the markets and the conspiracy around Bitcoin. 13,000 Bitcoins dropped. It burst the bubble by, a billion. Ouch. So are we looking at false flags there? Let's see. Was that the beta test to collapse? Don't know. There's a lot of speculation, especially when it comes to what's going on in the world of guns. We're also seeing what's really going on in our nation's capital and keeping them honest and keeping our rights to keep and bear arms, of course. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, joining us back this week to the show. Welcome back.
Hey, I appreciate being with you, my friend. Thanks so much.
You're there. You're in the trenches. How can people who are otherwise on your side but can't be there with you in the trench, how can they help you?
Well, we're a grassroots lobby, and we depend very heavily on email that our members can send. This is a free service, so you really don't have to join and send that very expensive $20 membership for a year. You can just go online to gunowners.org and sign up for the alerts that have been admittedly coming out about daily lately because of the incredible flow of legislative activity. As things were developing, we were letting people know, embedding an email in the alert so that they could fire that off and tell their member of Congress what it was they wanted them to do or to not do. So gunowners.org is the place to get information and action.
Before we get any more bad news, give us the good news coming out of the trenches.
Well, I'm very encouraged by the number of sheriffs that it's at least pushing 400 now that have said there's a spectrum. At a minimum, they're saying they're not going to cooperate with any unconstitutional gun grabs that the federal government might participate in. And at the other end of the spectrum, sheriffs are saying, not only will I not cooperate, but if the feds are doing something unconstitutional in my county, particularly a gun grab, I'll put them in jail. But they're also addressing other issues where the feds act unconstitutionally and threaten to incarcerate citizens of their county. The sheriffs are interposing themselves and saying, if you try to do that, you don't have authority, and you're not going to do that in my county, and if you try it, I will arrest you. This has happened in confrontations with the Forest Service, the BLM, the Food and Drug Administration, and, of course, the ATF, the gun police. So that's kind of encouraging. And you mentioned one of the objections, that there are other sheriffs and other elected officials that will say, well, the sheriff's there to enforce the law.
Not
in He's not to be setting himself up as a constitutional judge or scholar. Well, I'm sorry, but there's a little problem here. The sheriff takes the same oath to uphold and protect the Constitution as do legislators, as do presidents, as do members of Congress. They all take the same oath to uphold and protect the Constitution.
Well, that's
so
here our problem.
The sheriff would actually be violating his oath of office,
right,
to help him God, if he were to not use his judgment. And if, for instance, a number of these sheriffs are saying, Mr. Federal Agent, I don't see authority for your Food and Drug Administration in the county, and if you try to arrest that farmer for producing raw milk, I'm going to arrest you.
But they do
and
arrest
They're not kidding, and
but
it has
Larry
stopped the feds, and it means that if you live in the right county, the federal government is now being held at bay and forced to live within its limits of, imposed on it by the Constitution.
Yeah, but Larry, we are seeing, again, as you made reference about the raw milk, we're seeing farmers be arrested for the raw milk. And here's my dilemma in Colorado. Colorado's Second Amendment is even, it's not as broad as the United States. It's more defined. And it says in Article 2, Subsection 13, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be called into question. And if you are, you're the criminal. And we've seen the photographs.
That would give sheriffs a very strong hand in telling the feds, you're not going to be doing any gun confiscation here in my county. And you've got, what this is his name, Clark?
Sheriff John Cook.
Cook is one of the sheriffs in Colorado who's taking a very strong stand on what he thinks the limits of the federal government are. And that's very encouraging that he's not alone. He may be alone in the state.
No, we have, it's either 32 or 36 sheriffs. I forget my dyslexia. Let me Google it while you keep talking. But essentially, Sheriff Cook, along with 32 to 36 other sheriffs, standing and uniting behind him out of, I believe we either have 62 or 67 sheriffs here in Colorado. Let me Google that real quick.
There you are, approximately half of the sheriffs.
No, just a little over half, which is good news. And hopefully more of the other sheriffs with now over half speaking up, maybe they'll, you know, they may still be afraid, because we know about the intimidation tactics that are going on as well.
Well, and one of the big instruments of intimidation is if they have taken money from the federal government, some sort of justice, law enforcement funds that are doled out from Washington, then if Washington gets ticked at them, Washington can pull that money. And so the best way to resist that kind of blandishment is to simply not take the money to begin with. But if they have been taking it, to take measures to withstand the impact in the event that the feds do pull the money. I was really pleased to hear the Secretary of Education for the state of Wyoming address a group and said that they were doing a very exhaustive study to see how they would be able to find a way to operate the state's education programs without federal funding. And one of the things that they were finding was that if we did not take federal funding, there would be a lot of expensive things that they would not have to do that they had been required to do because that was the condition of getting the federal money, but they didn't see it as helpful for their educational mission. And I think the sheriffs would be in the same boat. Maybe they're not going to be able to get an MRAP, armored vehicle that can withstand an IED.
Right.
That's probably not something that...
That's not something we need. No, we need sheriffs or police officers who walk a beat, not who are surrounded in these, you know, ever omnipresent assault vehicles and in 17 different layers of black, shaved heads, no necks, and, you know, 85 pounds of battle gear, you know, to serve a warrant because you failed to show up in court for a parking ticket.
Well, it can get pretty absurd. There was a case last year.
By the way, it's 30.
Young woman looked outside and realized that her residence was completely surrounded by the men in black. And when all of the commotion finally subsided, it turned out that that was the Department of Education SWAT team, and they were coming for her because she was delinquent on her education. Now, you know, in the
past... I'm sorry, Larry, you had call waiting on education what?
Education loans.
Oh, on her student loans.
Exactly. Now, the fact that in the past, creditors were able to garnish your wages, put a lien on if you own your house,
yep,
or your car, those are actually sensible, measured, equivalent responses to the problem. And... But now, if they have a SWAT team,
yep,
they figure they got to use it, or else why do we ask the taxpayers to spend all this money?
And when it comes to budgets, remember we spent $115,000 last year, and we increase the budget every year, and we have to justify it by spending it and using it. And you're, oh my God, Larry, you're absolutely right again.
So off we go, and the Department of Education now is using a SWAT team to collect delinquent student loans. Frankly, that's where we need sheriffs. The sheriff needs to come in and say, boy, I don't think you ought to be doing that. And make sure that the boys understand that the sheriff is serious as a heart attack, that he's just talking smooth.
Yeah, that it's not just
me. Going to let them do
right.
that.
Larry, as you're bringing up the finances and economics, of course, Monday, it's tax day. And why are you in Colorado? Are you secretly a Colorado resident? Are you some shill and you're fake living out there in Virginia? And what are you doing?
Happily, I'm out there in Durango. I've been invited to speak to a number of groups. I'm not exactly sure where all I'll be. Happily, Dave Sally is arranging all that, but we will try to get that posted at gunowners.org and out to, as an alert to people on our email list.
Which is free, by the way.
Actually get out there.
Absolutely free, by the way. Absolutely free. If you'd like to become a member and donate $20 or donate more or, you know, buy everybody an ice cream cone, you're welcome to do so. But sign up for the free newsletter, FREE. Know not only where Larry's going to be next, but know what we can do to stop this.
Yeah, most of those alerts go out dealing with legislation, primarily in Washington. And admittedly, they've been kind of fast and furious the last week or so because of the increased pressure against the Second Amendment from the Congress and this administration.
Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. You can find them on the World Wide Web at gunowners.org, or you can find Larry Pratt for tax day in Durango, Colorado, Gunnison County. Larry, as always, keep up the battle, keep up the fight, and looking forward to putting my hand and shaking the hand of another patriot.
Thanks for letting me use your microphone. Appreciate you very much, Scooter.
As always, my friend. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. Hey, you know, we're playing around with the bottom of the hour, so deal with it. Grab your smartphones, grab your laptops, grab your desktops, jump on ScooterMcGee.com, and I tell you what, we're now at the bottom of the hour. Hi, I'm here. I've been here the whole time. He had to go live at 11 o'clock Eastern. Very special thanks, of course. The executive director of, that's right, Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt. Durango, Colorado, the 16th and the 17th. That's where he'll be. If you see some guy with a Hawaiian shirt running around, that's probably me. And the big guys, of course, will that be Sean? The little guy. Really? 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 That'd be me. And in theory, we'll see all of you down there in Durango, Colorado. We'll see you after the bottom of the hour in the news, 27 after, well, it's to the top, 33 after, probably 34 by the time we get out of here. Special thanks, of course, Scotty Railoff over at City National Pawn, 35% still off, and here's the drill now, because it'll get goofy. All electronics, all women's rings, all tools, and because the weather is nice, all mountain bikes, okay? Cool. Just mention my name, you get 35% extra off the items I just mentioned over at City National Pawn, 3301 West 10th Street. Anytime, shouts out Big R, we got good weather coming up. I'll tell you, we got to get out of here. Bottom of the hour, I know, 26. I know. We'll be back with more of the Scooter McGee Show. Headlines at ScooterMcGee.com, and we'll see you in 5 minutes.